here trying to get more productive, Joe.
Oh, you know it. It seems that there's no end to trying to be more productive, you know?
We're all trying to be more productive, Joe.
There's always something
in this economy.
In this economy. I remember when I first got to college, I like freaked out. I was like, how am I going to remember to do all my things and like when all my classes are and stuff? Because I had never used a calendar before. And like, I remember I took a piece of paper and I like laid it on its side and I like wrote out the days and like kind of like a XY axis deal where the days and then the hours, you know, and I like blocked off. And
he created his own calendar.
I drew it out. And I
allow me to introduce you to the calendar app.
Literally, when I realized that I could
They made this but digital.
Exactly. It was huge for me, you know?
Big deal.
And then I didn't miss class nearly as much. It was awesome.
Except for when you wanted to.
Except for when I chose to, exactly.
It was your own choice.
Which is the only time you should miss class.
Yes.
But, yeah, so I just remember that was a big deal for me. I think the next big deal for me has been the Reminders app. I have never... I think I used it when I was younger because there was some stuff in there from when I was younger.
Play with teddy bear.
No, it was like
ask mom to give me.
It was like
goldfish
brush
tracker.
Your teeth and like play the piano.
do court ordered 30 minutes of piano practice. I think I had some of those.
Yeah. So I, but I'm using it again, and I mean today's the first day I've tried using it, but like I just feel like it's such a. Especially just in the job I have, there are so many people that want so many things and so many details to like not miss that like I just am gonna, I forget things all the time, you know? And then it's like weeks and there's this like one specific thing I haven't done or like somebody I haven't reached out to or somebody I forgot to reach out to about lunch or, you know? And so I'm really trying to be more productive. I already have like 17 reminders in there today and it's only been a day. But if you have any tips,
do I ever have to? No, this used to be a fascination of mine, how to be more productive. And I eventually learned a fundamental truth that underlies all productivity advice, which is that like, no matter how hard you try, like life's always going to be kind of out of control. Like you can make all the to-dos you want or like try to get organized or plan things, but then like things can get turned upside down and be very unproductive at any given point. Bear in mind that. And there's always going to be like some degree of, you know, when you have a reminder system, you're going to have to really work to maintain it and work to make sure it's right and everything like that. There is a happy medium, right? You don't want it to be so complicated that your job is having a to-do list, but you don't want to write nothing and just have life kind of hit you in the face over and over because you're forgetting to do things and feeling like you let people down, whatever. So where's the happy medium? And so happy medium is kind of just capturing stuff the second it enters your head. And most of this is borrowed from the great Getting Things Done book, David Allen. You don't have to read it. There's a lot of business jargon in there. Mm-hmm. I'll save you some time and just say the main idea of the book is like, don't keep things on your mind. If I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep, things will often pop in my mind. Oh man, I have to get a card for this person, or oh man, I need to look at this and I forgot to do this. And so all you do is write it down. And what I do is I just make a big old note and make new lines. So one line, something I have to do, and more lines, something I have to do. Then I will, the next morning, knock out a bunch of them. And then the more complicated ones, like what he also does is, and here's a to-do list tip number two, is there's a big difference between tasks and projects. So like to-do list idea number one, you've got to not keep things in your head. David Allen says the only time you should have thoughts more than once is if you like having that thought, like it's something fun or joyful or whatever. But thinking, oh, I need to buy cat food a bunch of times, he uses that example. It's like you shouldn't think about how Fluffy's going to starve more than once. And then the first time you think of it, you write it down and then, okay, cat food, no problem. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get it done, which is what a grocery list is. You shouldn't think like I need it over and over. You just write it and get it done. Mm-hmm. And then so to-do list idea number, and maybe 1.5, tip number 1.5, is that your brain knows that you don't have it written down, so it keeps reminding you. It's like, you don't know how to do that. You don't know how to do that. You don't know how to do that. And then once you write it down and you trust the system, once you trust the system and know it's going to get done and you're going to see it, you're like, ah, my brain can finally relax. I put it there. I know I'm going to see it. I'll wake up. I'll look at the note. It's, you know, I trust Apple. They won't delete my data and then my phone won't explode. It's not some random scrap paper. It's going to get thrown away or blow away in the wind or whatever the case may be. So it's there and it's no problem. And it's just that one trusted capture place. The one trusted capture place is not having a bunch of post-it notes all over the place with 9 digits on them. Like that's the opposite of a trusted capture place. Mm-hmm. But so just write it to be specific enough. That's the thing with tasks. You have to write them to be specific. You can't be like writing 3 numbers on a thing and like, oh, I'll know what that means. And then you don't. Mm-hmm. So you have to make it specific so that you can come back the next morning and remember. And then so kind of tip number two is there's a big difference between a task and a project, or maybe like a task is something pretty easy and straightforward and that you can do quickly, and it, you know what happens. And then a project is like, you know, I've seen Joe's list in here for his, like, is Campus Worship Night. That is a project. That might even be a folder with multiple projects in it. Yeah. Like, one project might be tear down, because each project might have, like, 3 or 5 or 50 tasks or something. Mm-hmm. There are some tasks that are parallel, is what some software will use, which is where you can just jump around and do any of it. And then there's might be sequential, where I can really only do the one at the top because they all rely on the others being done. So those are different distinctions as well. But again, that gets kind of in the weeds, because it's like some tasks, if you look at it, it's kind of fuzzy, like plan Campus Worship Night. It's like, what do I need to do? Mm-hmm. So like, okay, Joe, let's sit down and think about it. What do you need to do when you plan Campus Worship Night? Mm-hmm. What's like the first couple of steps?
You know, actually, I'm going to add one of those, like a folder for that, because I have a meeting for that on Friday.
Because it's like, I might need to text or email someone. Do I need to, mm-hmm. like, what do I need to do? Maybe step one is like, make a list of everyone that I want to be involved. And then the second thing is look at the list of everyone I want to be involved and like text them and see if they want to be. And then like, you know, the list kind of writes itself. You just have to think about what you have to do.
Absolutely.
So that's how you go from a very fuzzy planned campus night to a, you know, there might be 200 things on here or 1,000 things on here, whatever. Mm-hmm. But each one I look at it and I know what needs to get done. And then you look up and Campus Worship Night's been executed and it's like, oh, that worked.
Yeah. Good. I hope that's how it goes.
One would hope. And then, and then people don't get back to you and it's never easy. But like what I try to do is I just try to have enough projects in place to where like people's birthdays will show up like a week or two before. So I have plenty of time to write a card and plan and get things. Mm-hmm. And then people I like to make sure I have consistent like meetings with, I will have like a monthly or whatever the case may be, just whatever interval. So I'll check it off and it'll pop up. From the time I checked it off, it like will pop up 1 month later or something. So mm-hmm. I know that's getting done. And I'll just kind of bug them until they like, you know, until it works.
Yeah.
And so that's good. And then, yeah, that's the basic, just kind of capturing throughout the day so you don't have a ton on your mind. And then kind of sitting down. And then David Allen's a big proponent of the weekly review, which I used to be good at doing and then I need to get back to. I sound like, John, I need to do that. But on Saturdays or Fridays, I would usually do it where you sit down for like, it doesn't take more than an hour, but I have a custom list that is the weekly review list. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like completely ridiculous. Like, oh, I can't believe that. What is this for? But it like super helped. And what was on that list was a bunch of different things. On that list was like, look at all the calendar events that are coming up and it, like, is everything there? And I looked at the calendar for the next 2 weeks. So, okay, do I need to do anything? Is there like someone's birthday party hiding on here and mm-hmm. I need to do something? Mm-hmm. Or is there like some meeting that I need to be semi-prepared for, or for you, I don't know what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Or is there some random like utility inspector that I need to like do something or text them or do something?
Yeah,
so
you'll
look at the calendar, kind of go through some different things, and then try to sweep everything off your mind and get it down into projects. Mm-hmm. And sort of you would look at all your projects and sort of, is anything stuck? Do I need to talk to anyone? Do I need to do anything? Mm-hmm. And so kind of making sure you're not stuck. And because for each project, you should be able to look at that top list and it should be either everything's in the project's done and good job, or you should be able to look at the list and it's like, oh, I'm actually like feeling inspired to do that. Like mm-hmm. ask Kate if she wants to like drum for the night or something. It's like, ah, I can do that. Yeah. Let's go. Or like, you know, collect all the cables. It's like, ah, I can do that. And so mm-hmm. you don't procrastinate because you know it needs to get done. So that's the basic idea. I think reminders is good enough now for most people. You just say, hey, name of Apple device thing. I won't say because mm-hmm. it'll turn on everybody's, but you can just have her remind you to do things or remind me every Tuesday to do something.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty easy to do that. And then you can just check off right from the notification or remind me 1 hour. So they've made it really nice. So mm-hmm. no excuses there. So it doesn't have to be too complicated. It does require some effort to maintain this whole system. Mm-hmm. Like in college, I just had projects for each of my class and I would just kind of be honestly reviewing them like every day. Like, is everything for this class good? Okay, moving on to the next class. Everything good for this class? Okay, move on.
I just already feel like a weight off my shoulders, and it's silly, and maybe I'm being dramatic, but I just like, it's nice not to be like, oh yeah, like I get home and I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta send Kaylee that thing and I gotta make sure I get Ben's small group stuff done, and I gotta also write something for Thursday, and and it's like, it's just like, oh no, it's there, like I'll get to it when I'm back at work, you know, like I'm not at work right now, I'm at home, I can like stop worrying about all the stuff at work because it will get done.
If I were to coach you, I'd be like, list out everything you're asked to do. So like, you know, maybe lead the band or lead a small group or whatever. And then each thing's a project. And then you identify, like, is there stuff that needs to get done every week? So then you make it repeat. Mm-hmm. Or is there one-time stuff so that you kind of dump it in and then sort as you go? And so if that's what you're doing, it sounds like you are kind of with the reminders. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's more haphazard. But I mean, you can make lists and really you need the amount of organization you need, but no more. So like,
absolutely,
really, if you're doing better than most people, if you just dump it in a big list that doesn't even get sorted. So I hope that's helping you, Joe. Like, it's just a really bad feeling of like, oh, there's something out there I need to do. What is it like? It's gonna jump me. It's gonna get me.
Oh my gosh!
And it's just super unsatisfying. So you don't want that. So just keep on writing it down. Keep on getting it out of your mind. Mm-hmm. Have a mind like water.
Absolutely.
And there's stuff on mine that's like, learn to tune drums for real and not just like make it up, where I'm like, I don't really know how to do this. And that goes on the someday maybe list, where it's like, maybe I'll do this, maybe I won't. And maybe like, there's also like monthly and yearly reviews you can do, where you like every year or something you might look through the someday maybe. It's like, well, I want to go to Europe before I die. I want to learn how to tune drums before I die.
Yeah.
So maybe turn that into a project and like try to get it done.
Yeah, like break it down into the
steps. But we also have to acknowledge there's just limited time and limited energy. Yeah. And we can't be superhumans, but we can identify what needs to get done and calmly write things down and calmly. Mm-hmm. And the amount of people that don't do this, like, they don't teach this in school. It's frustrating. No financial literacy, no productivity system. That's why people are out here writing on Post-its. It's like, stop it, get some help.
Yes. No, that's so real.
No one teaches these things.
No one taught me about, well, okay. I mean, I learned a little bit about taxes, but like,
not enough
to do it myself.
Yeah, not enough to do anything.
Times, you know?
That's how they get you.
So that's how they get you. Yeah, really. I don't know how I ever did anything without a calendar. Honestly, because if I didn't have a calendar, I would forget everything. I would miss so many things. I swear. I would just be like all over the place, especially now. Just because lots of meetings and different events and how did I ever plan in advance for anything? You know what I mean?
You couldn't, yeah.
Yeah.
But now you can look and it's like, Joe, are you available on March 9th at 5 p.m. It's like either yes or no.
Yeah, exactly.
Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
It's biblical.
It is absolutely biblical.
Oh my gosh. Freaking get organized. If you're not organized.
Matthew 5:37.
Exactly. Is that an actual
I think 5:37 is let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Solid.
Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I think it's Matthew 5:37. Nice. Don't quote me.
Bro, look at that, you.
But it should be.
Gunslinger. Scripture gunslinger.
I'm glad to hear that's going well. Yeah. And CSF, I can imagine that, like, yeah, there's like 5 or 6 lists you need to be having on reminders there, but you shouldn't, it shouldn't be like too overwhelming, I don't think. Cause I mean, it's also a very relational job, but you could have like a list for like the people you want to meet with on a regular basis. So one list is like, you know, every month it reminds you to meet with them. And then they could have a list just by themselves that could be like, here's what you want to talk and here's what you want to follow up. And that would be more notes and less reminders, but.
No, that's a good idea, though. And I want to use my notes more strategically, too. I need to go clean out my notes because there's a ton of crap in there.
Brush teeth, play with teddy bear, practice piano.
Exactly. It's like
old, do fourth grade
like poems I used to write. And like
ooh, old poems. That's
grocery
cool.
lists. It's a
big old mess.
Minefield in there.
Joe's innermost thoughts of when he was 8 years old.
Minefield of memories. Does that make sense grammatically?
Yeah, absolutely, it does.
Minefield of memories.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad. That's like an album.
That could be an album or a podcast.
Bro, I'm gonna put that in my reminders.
I'll remember it.
Write an album about Minefield of Memories.
I do have an Obsidian note that talks about albums that should be titled this, or this would be good for a song title, or this would be good for a book title, or whatever. There's not much in there, but every now and then you think of it, it's like, if I ever want to start some sort of alternative band, we could use this name.
There you go.
We could have some ideas instead of no ideas. You ever have talked about this. You ever have the weirdest thoughts before going to bed? It's like the start of a dream.
Yes.
But then you forget what it was.
Oh my gosh.
And then you're like,
but you're just laying there and you're almost falling asleep, but you're not quite
like
falling
I remember
asleep.
That I had the weirdest thoughts known to man before I was going to sleep, but if I don't like force myself to get up and write them down on my phone, then it's gone forever.
Yeah.
And then even when I go back and look at them on my phone, I'm like, what?
What was I thinking?
That doesn't make
but
any
sense.
But it
makes sense. So much sense.
It made so much sense in the moment. So that's a way, that's like a drug free way to be like,
it really
high
is.
As a kite. It's just almost go to sleep and then. Think about some weird things. But can you think of any examples? No, I can't because I forgot
them.
They're all
gone.
But they're just like these ideas like, oh my goodness, this is the most genius idea.
For me, it's like stories. Like stories will start to happen in my mind of like just scenarios that might play out or like different people that scenarios. Like I'm sitting in my office and somebody walks in and we start having a conversation about something and then something happens. Like, or like I'm walking on campus and something, it's like, it's just like scenarios in my head of like a, almost like sitcom-ish, like.
So is it like, is there like a laugh track?
There is not a laugh track. So maybe less sitcom than I first meant, but it's like a TV show, like a dramedy.
Yeah. Dramedy. That could work.
There you go. Not a rom-com.
What's going on this year at CSF, Joe?
Oh, what's
going
on this year?
I can feel the excitement buzzing. Everyone's excited. It's the first day of school. Dude, my goodness. Yeah. And it's you know, full of hope and promise. Mm-hmm. Sun is shining. Mm-hmm. Will that same energy stay there at February 19th? Probably not.
This feels like the starting episode of Survivor.
It kind of does. Like,
everybody's out here feeling great, and who will last
after that first calculus test? And once Encounter is like, it's night out when Encounter starts. Then it's like, gosh, everybody's gonna just drop on the ground.
That happens. Ugh. Yeah. No, man.
I can feel the excitement. It's good.
Yeah, it feels really. I was at our. I think I maybe told you this earlier, but I was at our house meeting last night for just because staff. It's good for staff to be there, and I was handing out some shirts. But we have a great team of leaders this year, and their excitement. Like, I've always felt this way. It's a trickle down thing. It's like it has to come. Like, the excitement comes from staff. And we put the effort in on the back end so that then students can show up and be excited and then do whatever role that they're doing, you know, and do it well and do it with intention and with structure, because we have the structure built in. You know, it's like, I'm not just letting you go. I'm like saying, hey, here's how you can excel in your job. And then they're excited because we're excited. And then because they're excited, everybody else gets excited, you know?
Multiplication effect.
Exactly. And I was at a house meeting last night, and I'm going to be real with you. House meetings, typically pretty dreaded among people, you know?
Who forgot to take out the trash.
Pretty, yeah, right? It's pretty, I mean, like, yeah, they're necessary, but they...
Necessary evil.
Yes.
As most meetings
are. That's exactly
are.
How necessary evil. People view them. Last night was great. It was fun. It was energetic. It was, people were laughing. People were having fun. People were there on time, you know? And like...
Unbelievable.
I know. It was great. And so I just feel like there's an excitement among the students... student leaders that is trickling down to the students, like every other student, you know, and it's just great. And so if you feel excitement, I think that's why, you know, there's a core group of leaders who are just hyped for the year, and they're kind of spreading that around to everybody else, and it's contagious, you know. And so I'm feeling really good about that. I mean, Encounter starts on Thursday. I don't know when this is going up, but I mean, yeah, the first one of the year, and it's exciting. We're going to do Daniel this year. Felt like it was a good, it's an election year, you know, and it's like, how do the people of God respond to vast political change? You know, let's read Daniel. You know, what's it like?
Interesting.
And really we're taking the theme of like, what's it mean to be an exile? And like, how are we exiles, and how do we do that well? You know, and looking at Daniel as an example. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. I feel like there's again, excitement. There's an evangelistic passion among students now that arguably I would say wasn't here when I was here as a student. Yeah. Oh,
it's harp time. Guys, you might hear some harp. There's a student here that practices harp. And
yeah, we're at CSF right now.
Yeah, as always, we're at CSF. Yes. But instead of it being the summer and there being not a human soul for like 30-mile radius, there is a bunch of students crawling on top of our recording area. There's 40,000 students crawling on top of this microphone right now. Well, okay, I don't want to be an old
there
man.
They are.
But I need to turn onto a road. Let's call it 123 Main Street to go to work.
Yeah.
I need to turn left out of the neighborhood to go onto 123 Main Street. I feel like I waited there for like 6 minutes today.
Yeah,
I was like,
dude,
what are these guys doing? This left turn should not take 6 minutes out of the neighborhood. Anyway, stupid student.
It's real. It's real. I remember, I mean, I grew up here. So every August, it's like, oh, the students are everybody like.
Everyone complains. Yes. Is it getting worse? Or am I losing my mind?
It's definitely.
I don't know.
I'm more just students. Complaining more. There's like 50,000 now.
And there used to be like 30 or 40,000.
Well, I think, here's the deal. I think there's 50,000 at IU total. I don't know
counting
how many
grad
of those.
And
yeah, I don't know how many of those are
law
online. I don't know how many are actually freshmen on campus, but I do know that IU has been growing, and Bloomington has been growing, and so I think we're more like 100,000 people than 80,000.
Yeah, there's got to be at least 100,000 people here.
Yeah, which is crazy. That's insane.
It's a lot of people.
Anyway, but I remember one time though, Quentin Bemis actually, he was given a worship thought before a rehearsal. And it was on a Wednesday night, and he was like, it was around when students were coming back, and he was like, I know it's easy to like be upset with the students, but he was like, God wants us to minister to them, and we're here for them, and let's not complain about them.
Yeah, and, I think I've heard him say that before.
And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, it's so easy to just be like, And I mean, I even said to people, I'm not going to Target for the month of
the next 6 months.
I mean, really, like about a month, probably I won't go to Target just because it's going to be insane and I don't want to deal with it. But like, I don't know. I'm trying to, cause students are my job, you know, and that's, I'm excited for them, really. So anyway, don't hate the students, bro.
Just love on the students, just man.
Love on them students, man.
Remember, what's that guy from Cars? Cars One's like Seymour's.
Oh, yeah, the hippie van.
The hippie guy.
Hey, yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro.
He's like, yeah, he's like.
And then Sarge is like, the '80s were not kind to you, my friend.
Yes.
And he like eats. He's organic fuel,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah. But anyway,
what a classic.
I don't know where I was.
We gotta love the students, Joe.
Oh yes, but before that, I was talking about
productivity.
Oh no, I was talking excitement. About Daniel. CSF stuff. Anyway,
okay.
CSF is great. I'm feeling really excited. Maybe that's just the beginning of the year bliss, but it's, I mean, I really am excited, and I think our students are, I think we've been really blessed with the students that we have.
So. August is really exciting. I can feel the excitement right now.
Yeah.
And then I must say that the second semester start is like, oh gosh.
Yeah. It's
like,
it's,
do we have to do this again?
I know. It's
like, oh, yeah. It was just Christmas, and it's like the January cold, like quite literally a cold start. It's like January. It's like, but then the August, oh my goodness. So sunshiny, mm-hmm. So nice. So.
And then there's like, I think once we get started in the second semester, once we get to like late February, then we all see the light at the end
and
of the
we're excited. We're you like, know, yeah, get it done. Get
the days are getting a little bit nicer again.
Although it feels like everyone, not to create problem where there are none, but uh-huh. It feels like everyone gets like super sick in February as well. So like half the time everyone just misses their class. Totally. And then the other time they're just coughing in your face.
I got mono
and
in February.
Not I think good.
It was February. Yeah, it was February. It was totally February.
Yeah.
That sucked. It was so bad. My throat.
You don't want that.
Yeah, it was bad. My tonsils were like the size of golf balls.
Should have those taken out, Joe.
I probably should. Did you know you can take your uvula out?
Did
you know that?
I mean, you can take anything. You can take take a lot of things out, Joe. It's like, do you want?
Did you know you don't need your left ear? Crazy. Yeah. CSF is great. Our court is almost done. We're going to have actual lines on the court. It's not just going to be cement. It's like
so that there's a real 3-point mark and not just a like. That was probably 3 points.
Yeah, guys are arguing about
when
whether
when I do it, it's 3 points. When you do it, unacceptable.
Exactly.
The line curves right there.
Yeah. So it'll be like a kind of like a tennis court. Pickleball court feel, like it's a little softer than just the solid concrete.
That'll be nice.
And then lines for basketball and volleyball. So they're finishing that up, and I'm so excited. I cannot tell you how excited I am about it. Oh my gosh, just to be able to actually, because of course they've been working on it and no one can use the court while everyone's moved in, and like it's the best time of the year to be outside. So it's like
wah wah.
Yeah, I know. It sucks for this year. I'm just like, man, next year, not gonna have to worry about it. We can host events out there. Like, I'm just like fixing my mind on that to get me through it, you know. So construction though, you know, takes twice as long as they say and probably costs twice as much
at least.
So
yikes,
it's rough.
That's rough.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, that's CSF good. Is
did you get the new water fountains installed?
Yes, we got new
downstairs,
water fountains
maybe.
Yeah, all three floors have them.
Okay.
Yeah, so we got
these are the fancy water fountains that say like 500 bottles salt and yes. Saved and then
yeah. Dude, they've been jumping like a lot. Like it's been a week since students
already saved
in.
Like an entire floor.
Yeah, it's like I mean, it jumped from like 23 water bottles with just the staff here to like, it's like that one out there is like 475 now.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I'm like, I wonder what it'll be at the end of the year.
Let's hit the 99999.
Dude, I want to. Oh man.
Well, I wonder what happens when it hits 9. Does it loop around or I don't know.
Maybe it does.
Maybe it like you unlock some sort of achievement.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway. But yeah, a lot of upgrades going on at the house, which is really exciting. Well, so hey, if you're out there and you're looking for college housing at IU Bloomington, I don't know who listens to this that would actually need that. But
that isn't signed up and listening in the house right now.
Exactly.
But like if you just stumbled across this podcast and you want
to
get it.
Is a great time to be living at CSF because things are improving rapidly.
They are absolutely improving rapidly.
So
we're really here. After the pandemic, I know the pandemic kind of got us all down 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's kind of taken some time, but the excitement's coming back.
We're coming back.
We're rebuilding stronger, better.
Absolutely.
Better, not better. We're better than ever, not better than ever, but hey.
Absolutely.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. Do you want to talk about your job? If I ask you about your job, would you?
I mean, I assist Jeff Houston at Bilsey Brown Associates here in town.
Yeah.
Help him with everything he needs. Help with a few miscellaneous agency-wide projects that are needing to get done that involve technology and IT. And that's about it. And it's a little hard to explain exactly what that entails without like talking for 2 hours and giving too much detail. But yeah, helping people with their money. People call and they have questions. I direct them to the appropriate person or answer them if I am licensed to be able to answer them. And, you know, help people move money from one account to the others depending on fluctuating interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
Much of finance is related to interest rates. When they go up, interesting things happen. When they go down, other interesting things happen. All depends, you know. Depends on what your goals are, but that's my job.
Yeah, well, we and Zachary were talking before this and talking about how best to, or yeah, we were talking about how money's not a real thing.
Oh, yeah, we could review a little. Yeah, basically, the short version of it is that money is made up. There's no gold standard. I can buy a car with pieces of paper that were printed at a factory that are just nothing.
That
they're
we decide mean something.
They don't mean anything. They mean nothing. And we just, like, the only reason the car is handed to me when I give you the money is because the money means something. But
we
it's
agreed.
Like, this is, like, a good car, and I'm just giving you a piece of trash paper.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that can't be right. And then even more abstract, like, I didn't say this before, but, like, to add more abstraction, like, how much money is digital? Like, it's nothing representing.
Yeah.
It doesn't represent anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
just
wait,
numbers.
I change some zeros to ones if you work for me for 40 hours a week, and then you give me this physical object, and then I move the zeros and ones to your account instead.
Yeah.
Or I don't even move them. I just like change behind the scenes who owns them. It's like, that can't be right.
it's insane.
Yet it is, and it works. And like, yeah, because I watched an interesting video that had to do with like the checks have to be perfect and like the banking system has to be perfect, because if it's not, like, either $30 just like you put it in your bank and it just disappears into thin air, or you like someone accidentally takes it out like twice of their account. So like you have to be super careful of your bank to like not goof anything up, obviously. Because if you create money out of nowhere, that's no good. Or if you destroy money out of nowhere, that's no good. Well, I guess that happens kind of accidentally because you like put your $5 bill through the washer and stuff, maybe.
Wow.
But it's all very complicated, Joe.
It really is. It really is. It is incredibly.
And it doesn't mean anything. It's all made up. Doesn't mean anything. It means nothing.
But that's your entire job.
But my entire job is receiving something that doesn't exist in exchange for helping people manage something that also doesn't exist.
Oh my gosh.
Do the people exist? Like, how much? I don't
but,
get
okay,
what doesn't
okay.
exist.
Not to like Jesus juke it, but like. Let's be real. Like, that just illuminates to me how little money actually matters, you know?
I mean, the stuff that you can buy with it matters because you need to have a place to live and eat and
yes.
whatever.
Yes. I guess, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, why would I put my security in, like, how much,
and you,
what the number says on my bank account?
And
you
the
know
more
what I mean?
Time passes and the more, like, of Jeff's clients either pass away or their spouse does, it's like, you can't take it with you. Like,
exactly.
This person had this big old account and used, like, $3 of it. And because they didn't need much in their old age or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it goes to someone else and that's fine, but it's like you can't take it with you.
Exactly. And I mean, if money is where you draw your security from, like, it will leave you quickly, you know? Like the turn of something happens in your life or in the economy or with your job, it's just like gone, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's a scary.
You can't
thing.
Can't find your security and money.
It will, it'll leave you faster than you can say Mississippi.
Isn't it so funny that like when you're in college, like it's less true for me, but I know for a lot of guys I knew and whatever, it's like you can live like a total delinquent, like on $5 a week and like just get random free pizza, and you can have like the best time of your life and be so happy.
Yep.
And then you're like making pretty good money and like have a nice place to live and a good car and whatever.
Yep.
And you know, the newest iPhone. And it's like, I'm not as happy as I was when I was like making $5 last like 3 weeks somehow.
Yes. Yes.
And so is money related to happiness? Not really. No.
Yeah. I totally agree. There were weeks in college where like, especially my junior year when I lived out of CSF, I like would try, it was like a game. I would like see how long I could go without spending money. And especially when gas got really expensive, I like would only put $20 in my tank at a time as like
just coast a lot.
Yeah, literally, I would literally
turn
do that.
Off and coast.
I would literally put it in neutral, like downhills, and like
I don't think that does anything on modern cars, but I appreciate
you're probably
that.
Right.
I appreciate the.
I really and like that. I would like go get a free sandwich from a girl I knew, like Kate, who worked at BBC. I'd go get a free sandwich for her.
Yeah,
week.
That works.
I would go home for food. I would stay at CSF and eat, you know,
maybe
I would eat out of the student kitchen here, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I would sparingly eat my own groceries that I had
got to make them last
once a month. You know what I mean?
Got to make them last.
But like literally just living off the bare minimum, and I could handle it because I was you know, 20 years old and I could eat Pop-Tarts and, you know, Hot Pockets all the time. I guess I'm only 22. About to be 23, though, so there's a little distance there, but...
Yeah, you haven't yet started your bulking journey.
Yeah.
Still on the Pop-Tarts.
My bulking journey.
You haven't yet got
Can
there.
You imagine me being, like, muscular? I can't.
Joe, your beginner gains would be unbelievable.
You're right, and we've talked about this before.
If you just, like, worked moderately hard for 6 months, you would be unbelievable. You'd be unrecognizable, but you're just not going to do it. I would encourage you to, but I feel like you're just never going to do it.
Here, you know my fear?
What's your fear?
Is if I gain all this muscle, which, like, hypothetically, that would take a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying I would just do it. I'm just saying if it happened, then if I just wanted to stop, mm-hmm. then it would just become fat and I would have to, like, work it off. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think that's how that works.
Is that not how it works?
I don't think the muscle turns into, I mean, it sort of deteriorates, but I don't think it reconverts back to fat. I really don't think that happens. I think it sort of just goes away, but I don't think it, like...
I need to ask one of my, like, exercise science friends, you know, or, like, biology friends.
Yeah, go ask Noah. He'll know.
Exactly. But. I think Noah would know.
And also, like, all this muscle, like, you can work as super hard and, like, not gain all this muscle, which, you know, is a huge bummer. You wish you would, but, like, it's insanely hard to gain, quote, all this muscle. And our standards are quite, you know, deceived by the, like, you know, everyone's on gear who's, like, on in TV and movies mm-hmm. and all this. So it's like, well, that's... You know, I'm sure you did. Chris Hemsworth had lots of broccoli and rice. And then also I'm sure you had some secret sauce injected straight into your veins. But yeah, anyway, it could do good, Joe. I'm trying to balance both. It is hard because it is like for cardio and weights, they are competing because then if you do too much cardio, you're kind of tired. But
I love cardio. I love cardio.
Just add in a little bit of weights, Joe. Basic weight program.
You're right. And when I've done like push-ups on my own, like, I feel the difference, you know, I'm mm-hmm. able to like lift things that I wasn't before. And
cause I will say like, yeah, it's functional strength is good. Cause I was like helping at the FGA and I was like, yeah. I could like completely beat up my like 3 years ago self as like, just I'm slinging all this stuff around.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it that heavy? Not really. But it's like, I know that 3 years ago I couldn't have really
Absolutely.
Done those like monster chairs on my own or whatever.
So. Yeah. How was the FGA, by the way?
Really good. Furniture giveaway for people that don't know. FGA stands for Furniture Giveaway and it is Sherwood Oaks Ministry here in town. And just a little subset of Sherwood Oaks. Everyone volunteers for it. Yeah, pretty much, it's mostly Sherwood Oaks. There's a few other churches that help as well. Our goal is to give away as much furniture as we can to international students. So they come in, they don't have furniture. We will collect furniture throughout the year. People donate chairs, whatever, and we'll donate to them. And it was really advanced this year. They had an app where I don't remember if the students could use it or not. I think maybe the app was just more for like signing up and volunteering. But there's like an actual software developer that like somehow had like a screen going where like 80% of deliveries and it was like filling in as time went on. And
really?
Stuff. And then it was like, yeah, because then people would come to church and they would get to know like the people at the church and they would say like, okay, I want one couch and one chair and one dresser or something. And if it was available, we'd deliver it to their apartment.
Wow.
So it was pretty good. And then, yeah, had a good efficient system going. Got to run. There was a big, like, pretty big box truck with like an actual like legit moving truck with like a lift that you could operate. I was like, I'm having too much fun with the lift right now. It's like that thing, man, you could lift, put as much furniture you want, can lift it up no problem. Like we're all struggling to lift this thing. It's just like, oh, look at that lift
guys. That is awesome.
Just the little joys of life. I felt like an 8-year-old kid who's like, oh my goodness, this, you know, I'm so amazed by the garbage truck and the bulldozer.
Yes,
and like
yes.
The log, they used to have like a log splitting machine at like my grandpa rented a log printing machine one time.
Yeah.
So it's like, this thing just arm just like barely touches the log and we can't break it no matter how much we hammer, but it just breaks it in 5 seconds. So.
Yeah. Yep.
I wonder how many like tons of force was on that lift. I have to look that up. Anyway, it was doing pretty good job. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I it was like funny because after like my office job, I'm like, here I am getting things done and slinging around furniture and like telling people to like go there and do there. It's like, this is amazing. I love this.
Working with your hands.
I love, and it wasn't like skilled work with my hands. Like I'm picking up pieces of furniture, but it was just like, it was fun.
Yeah, that's great.
I had a good time. Met this guy named Mike. Is like, I'll never forget you, Mike. Like we don't know anything about each other, but we like, we're lifting so much different stuff and like really getting a lot done. So
that's cool.
Thanks, Mike, wherever you are.
That's awesome.
Hey, Joe, I know you mentioned that you're making some changes to the CSF worship setup this year. And so what are some of those changes?
Yes. Great question.
Great question.
So yeah, the biggest one is, and really, I mean, yeah, the main one. Well, yeah. Okay. The main one is, we're going to try using Sunday Sounds with an iPad. And basically what Sunday Sounds is it's meant to be for a MIDI controlled keyboard. Mm-hmm. So something like a Nord, maybe. Just think like no onboard. Like basically no ability to project sound on its own. And so basically what Sunday Sounds with an iPad will do is take input from a piano, run it through the iPad, and then put sounds. Like you can customize what sounds it makes, essentially. So you can make it do a pad. You can make it do all kinds of different pads with different specific sounds. You can make it do piano. You can make it do all kinds of different piano sounds. Make it do roads. Make it do, you know.
There end up being a click component, though?
So, yes. So what you can do is basically if you run stereo, you could run a click in one channel and everything else in the other so that one channel could come. Anyway, we could do it, and I did buy the equipment, but I don't have I don't have everything I need. I need like one or two more semi-expensive things. And so really what it came down to was, do we want to use the piano sounds on board on the iPad? And when I ran it with our sound guy, he said that what sounded honestly better is to run, so have the iPad plugged in, but continue to run the onboard sounds
from the piano.
Yeah, so use the piano sounds that we've been using, but then have a pad from the iPad running.
No. Like just a droning D or something that's in the key of D. Yeah, yeah, I bet that adds up. That adds a surprising. It doesn't seem like it would, but it adds a lot to this.
I think it's going to add so much, like so much. And really, yeah, you're right. It's nothing, but it just adds a lot of depth, you know? So
yeah, it just kind of fills in some of like, there can be awkward spaces or whatever, but it just kind of fills it in.
Exactly. So,
For sure.
So yeah, I'm feeling really good about it. I mean, again, we're going to kind of see how it goes. Like this is kind of a test week. But I'm excited. And I think, again, I had to get like a special DI box with like a dual, like a stereo output, and one made with a MIDI like input, or like not a USB A, I think is what it is actually.
Okay.
Weirdly. Anyway, but I don't have all the equipment to use that, but I could use that as a stereo output and do click in one that could just go to our ears.
That could be cool. And does every member of the band have the ability to run their ears or not really?
So,
cause I was like, someone's getting left out.
Yeah, we have. So obviously, you know, the drums has a P16 from, I don't know where we have that from, but it's here. I still need to reroute that. Ah, you know what? I'm going to put that in my reminders.
Joe's been saying he's going to reroute it for like over a year at this point, and he keeps not doing it. So
I'm gonna do it. I promise.
I will believe that when
come
I see
play
it.
Drums for me. I'm gonna do
I'll
it.
I'll believe promise. It when I see it. I mean, Joe can be very convincing. Joe can be very convincing. That's all I'll say.
That sounds like I'm like a car, like a used car salesman, like trying to lie to you. I'm convincing.
This will buff right up. They're all highway miles. The P16. That's how that works.
It's actually on my board. On my whiteboard up there, P16 for the drums under encounter.
Oh, look at left. That.
Yeah. Hasn't gotten done yet, though, has it?
Writing on a board is not the same as doing it, but
no, it's not. All right. Priority is going to be medium.
No, priority is extremely high. Priority is drop everything.
Drop and everything. Run. Do it right now.
Drop everything now. When's the next Taylor's version coming out? I've paid zero attention to Taylor Swift for a long time, but like, when is...
Did we talk about Dead Poets Society?
Oh, Torture Poets Department?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Dead Poets Society. I've called it that too accidentally, so I can't make fun of you too much. I don't remember a ton about it.
That's... No, I'm the same.
I don't really remember.
I listened to like seven songs or so. Fortnite is very good. With Post Malone, I liked that song
and
a lot.
For a fortnight there, we were...
It's just... And like the way that she does like the... Doom, tsh, doom. It's like very 80s sounding, just kick snare, you know?
Oh yeah, there's like the second track, the Torture Poets Department is like... at the beginning.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is very 80s and reverb-y. It just sounds... Yes. It is a lot like Midnight's with the way the synths are produced, I think. Uh-huh. But they just add some 80s drums and there's enough difference. It's not as psychedelic as Midnight's. It's more just like straight up 80s ballads, I think. So.
I agree. It's here. Can we play this?
We can try. Like, will the great Taylor Swift copyright us? Probably not. So go ahead and play it.
Just that. I was supposed to be sent away, but they forgot to come. Yeah, that, you know what I'm saying? That's so 80s. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 80s are 80s are in.
And then when it comes in.
Yeah, the really reverb snare.
just really, yeah, very good. And then Post Malone just doing his like, you know. Anyway, it's very good.
The proximity effect is crazy.
Yeah, it is. Did you see Post Malone's country album?
I've not been aware of that.
That's fair.
I've been too excited for new Zed album coming out in 3 days. Let's freaking go.
Whoa, that's big for you.
He hasn't come. Okay, so guys, here's the thing. He has made three albums. He's made, and he's like such a minimalist. Not really, because he's made like a million singles that, like, I know, Joe, you hate this, but there's like a million singles.
Oh, there's garbage. Oh my gosh.
And so whatever. And then he's made three albums ever. He's made Clarity. Technically Clarity Deluxe, but hey, it's just part of Clarity but more songs.
Yeah.
So that's album came out. Both those came out in 2011. 3 years later.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, my uncle introduced me to a bunch of music and like dubstep and stuff when I was a youngin. We'd drive in his car and like, you know, from a family event, and he like was, oh, he's like, let's drive to my grandparents' house afterwards. So we go, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
And I thought I was so cool or whatever.
Absolutely. But dubstep, then, come
absolutely.
On.
But and he showed me, and so he knew about Clarity like in 2011, guys. In 2011, he knew about Zed Clarity.
Wow.
Like he knew everything. Like, Joe, you know how you knew about Lizzie McAlpine before Lizzie McAlpine became cool? Like, I feel like he knew actually about a bunch of different, he knew Porter Robinson and Zed before they became cool.
Dang.
And I feel like he knew some other people, like more Christian artists as well before they became cool. Mm-hmm. He just somehow like knew everything before it was cool.
Wow.
And so here we were in 2011 listening to Zed Clarity going down I-69 as you do. So that's 2011. 3 years later, 2015, True Colors came out. I remember it. There's a couple of clunkers on here, but most of the time it's a good album.
Is that the one with what's the big one on that?
What's the big one? Maybe Beautiful Now or I Want You to Know were kind of the big ones.
Beautiful
I
Now.
Remember coming home from homeschool play practice listening to the single I Want You to Know. There was like an album cover with Selena Gomez, like in orange, and Zed's like faces on there as well. I remember it like it was yesterday. And then I remember it all too well. And then in 2015, there was a delayed reaction. 2015. I was like, I knew the day the album was coming out or something. And so I was like, got my headphones that were low quality back then and like plugged them in and then listened, just laid on my bed staring at the ceiling and listened to all the songs on May 18, 2015 when it came out.
Wow.
So that was 12, 13, 14. So it was 4 years between albums. Okay, no problem. Now it's been 9 years between albums. He hasn't made a single album. So he has made some singles. He's made like, you know, everyone's heard The Middle. Why don't you just meet me in the middle, whatever. And, you know, most people have heard, like, All You Have to Do Is Stay and all that.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
But it was all, like, not as good. It was not the true classic Zed that we knew and loved. Because Zed is, yes, he's EDM, but he's also, like, classically trained. So a lot of, like, his music sounds very orchestral. And, like, the way it's arranged is very, like, it's a step above typical, like, pop EDM, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So his new album, Telos, coming out 3 days, 4 hours, 43 minutes, 33 seconds, not that I'm counting. Are you listening to his
album? I'm listening to
Out of Time. Or I Want You to Know. Okay.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
And he always puts like a siren in the second bridge as well, so you think you're getting pulled over. It's funny.
Wow.
So that's happening. The entire album of Telos.
You're excited.
Zed's entire album may have leaked online on a sketchy Chinese website, and I may have listened to it already multiple times.
Oh my gosh.
At like low quality with like Chinese vocals in the background and stuff. But it's excellent. So when it officially comes out, I will. Maybe talk about this a little more, but what he does, which is awesome, is that he makes his, like a lot of his tracks continuously flow to one another where like it ends and then perfectly flips to the next one. And so what he's orchestrated some pretty cool changes to where like getting from the key of C to G or something, or like, I think he goes from like the key of F to like E as well. Or, like he somehow makes it sound natural. I don't quote me on that.
Well, you have to just like B flat?
No. He goes from the key of F to B, my bad. He goes from the key of F to B, which is a little easier.
That is... Well,
and he makes it sound natural somehow.
Really?
Yeah,
that's not.
It's pretty advanced. I'm so excited for this to come out for real. So, you know, hey, you get excitement where you can. Tycho's coming out with an album on the same day, and you know, he's another one of my favorites. Valley is a good artist. They're coming out with another one on that day too. August 30 is gonna be crazy.
Dude, that's gonna be crazy.
I'm gonna break the repeat button.
I wonder what your Spotify Wrapped will look like.
100% Zed.
Yeah, literally.
Well, no, it's. Is it, to be honest, I listened to the album and I was like, this is really good. Is it worth waiting 9 years for it? Like, I hyped it up so much in my mind when I knew it was coming out. It's like, it's a little disappointing when you look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, 9 years of anticipation, like Incredibles, we waited 14 years for it. Incredibles 2 wasn't that good, you know? So sometimes the higher the expectation, the more letdown can take place, but still super good and super re-listenable and just awesome.
That's how I felt about Justin Timberlake.
his album or how excited you were?
Well, yeah, like, so I remember loving the 2020 experience. Do you know that?
I don't know much about him, but
yeah, it's the one. I don't know why. I just really love that album. Like, it's got Mirrors. Do you know that song? And it's like in my mirror. Oh.
I must be out of touch with the kids, but I don't think I know.
Man, that was like 2015, 2014, 2015.
Wait, so the 2020 2013? Experience came out in 2013? Is this what you're telling me?
It was like 2020, like weird. Eyesight, you know?
Oh, clever.
Yeah, I know.
Wrong year, though.
I know.
That's good.
He waited like 5 years, and I was so excited. And then it was like not... Like, there was one or two good ones on there, but like it just wasn't very good. I don't know.
Get all excited. And
yeah,
it's
you
like,
hype it up, and then it's just whatever. Not... I don't know.
Just isn't. No one can live up to that much, you know, excitement.
Because I think the expectation in our head is perfection, you know, and it's like nothing can be that good.
Well, no one's gonna. I listened to Zed Clarity today going to work. I was like, no one can beat this. This is it. EDM has peaked.
Is that one of those no skip albums for you?
Oh, 100%. There is not a single bad song on Clarity. True Colors. I think there may be two skips on True Colors. Addicted to a Memory, awesome. I Want You to Know, awesome. Beautiful Now, depending on my mood, I might skip it. 50, most of the time, I probably would let it play.
Yeah.
Transmission, depending on my mood, likely a skip. Done with Love, awesome. True Colors, maybe a skip. Yeah, True Colors, realistically, probably going to skip that one.
Yeah.
Straight Into the Fire, awesome. Paper Cut, instant skip. Or no, sorry. I slandered the good name Paper Cut. Paper Cut, instant play all the way through, even though it's 7 minutes. Uh-huh. Bumblebee, skip no matter what. Daisy, Illusion, awesome. So.
Wow.
There's like 2.5 skips on there, depending on my mood, depending how gracious I am towards Zed. The album that has not come out yet has, let's see, I don't know. There's maybe one depending on my mood, but no, I think it could all be there. So.
Wow.
No skips.
I'm trying to think of a no skip album for me.
Yeah. There's some.
The Human Condition, John Bellion.
I think I started that one and didn't love it, but maybe I should try again.
I don't listen to music that much anymore. Like, even my car radio doesn't work all the time anymore.
Still.
Yeah.
And you're not getting it fixed on purpose.
And it's okay. Yeah, like, you know, it's the same thing that happened with my AirPods. Although there's a 21 Pilots song about, it's called Car Radio.
Yeah, it's like, now I just sit in silence.
Yeah. That one was a little depressing.
Yeah, I think I listened to it once ever, and it's like, that made an impression on me.
Yeah, somebody stole
my
radio.
It.
It's
wow, I'm 14 and this is D. did you see they like tore down the Taco Bell, RIP the Taco Bell? I went to that thing so many times on 3rd Street, like after working at Chick-fil-A, it's like, well, you know what I need now? The Chick-fil-A's closed. Up Taco. And back then it was actually cheap, but like I was like, where the heck am I? Oh, I'm on 3rd Street and they tore down Taco
Bell. Dude.
It's like my landmark sense is like, that struck me as weird driving here. Maybe this is our last existential topic here for the day, but I was like, wait, they can just tear down buildings? But then it's like, how do I know where I am in like relation to Taco Bell? It's been here since I was born.
That's very true.
It's like, how do I know what the world even is if you tear down this building?
Yeah,
I just had like a mini crisis. It's like, why Taco Bell? Why?
why is it torn down?
Why did you have to leave me? Well, probably because
KFC.
Ate there. Yeah, I think that was what confused me. Like seeing an empty field where KFC and Taco Bell was, it's like fenced in. I was like, where am I? Oh, I'm in 3rd Street. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually been by since they tore it down.
But it's like, it was really weird because it's like, these are buildings and you've lived your whole life and gone to them, but it's like, they're just like wood and plastic. You could tear them down.
You really could.
And it's like, but it's like, they could tear down, think about Joe, really think about this. They could tear down the room we're sitting in right now. And it's like, where did it go? Like this room I spent all, like hours of my life in. Where was it? It was just wood and metal and like plastic the whole time. No, that can't be right.
Yeah.
It was like a whole world, but you just like tore it down in 1 second with a bulldozer. Sorry. Am I making any
sense? No, you totally are. And then it's like, did it ever really?
Yeah. Did it ever? It was just, we were like, just if it was the second floor, we were just like suspended in midair.
Yeah.
So there's like still that spot, but now it's just like birds fly through it and like people can like walk through it.
Yeah.
Or like birds. Yeah. But you see what I mean? See how that's kind of scary?
Totally
like my third floor room, it's like that used to exist, but now there's like a utility closet there because they built a different room and no one ever sees it. But like that space is special because so many people used to be there.
Yeah.
But it's not special because it's just like
100%.
Yeah. Am I making any sense?
No, you totally are. It's a weird reality that
The rooms. Think about like the road to Nashville, like how much like dead forest it goes, not dead forest, but like no one lives there, forest it goes through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you could have built the road like in a slightly different place and then millions of people over time would pass through that spot, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you're going right next to this other spot that like no one's ever been to, and you're passing like 1 inch from it each time, but like no one ever goes there.
Yeah.
Except one time they did because there was like a car crash, so a person like died in that spot. But then what if they build a spot like a house where that person died, and then like your bedroom is right there where they took their last breath? And then, like, used to, our house was built on, like, a farmland as well, so there used to be, like, yeah, rolling hills, and now there's just a bunch of houses.
Dude, that is, so you know the Catholic Church on 3rd Street and High?
Yes, I do.
So when they built that, they were nervous about being so far out of town because it was just, nothing was out there when they built that.
Was it, it's because, like, more where, like, Renwick is was the main part, is that right?
Well, like, it was just fields. It was just a farm out there where every, like, literally from...
What year?
Like, I think it was built probably early 1900s.
Okay. Because I've heard it, my understanding was, like, the place where Renwick is used to be, like, the main part in Kroger. I don't think there was Kroger.
Of the farm? Of
Bloomington.
Oh.
I could be completely wrong.
I don't know. I don't...
I may be completely wrong.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I think Bloomington, like, it's always been, like, downtown, like, where downtown is.
Is it more like Seminary Square was
where it was? Yeah, okay. Yeah, like, way back in the day, yes. It was, but it's always been, like, in that area, just because that's where the river is.
Oh, fair enough.
Or the creek, well, river, whatever. Anyway.
Keep going.
But, yeah, no, like, literally when they built that church, they were, like, worried about being so far away from town. Because there was nothing out there. It was just fields. And
look at it now.
And now, like, 100 years later, look at it, and it's, like, the mall. The center of town. I mean, it's like a second downtown, really.
It really is.
It's where like a ton of stuff happens. But anyway, just crazy.
Okay, last thought of the day, involving, like, space and buildings. I was thinking today, like, I've never been inside. I actually have one time, but, like, only super briefly. Uh-huh. I've never been in my neighbor's house. It's been there, like, 10 feet from me the whole time. Like, what's in there? I don't know.
You don't know.
But I've lived here, you know, 22 years and 21 years, I guess. But
all the secrets.
I don't know what there is. You'll never know. It's 10 feet away and I pass it every day and it's like, what's in there?
You look at it every day.
I can't go in there. I'm not allowed without trespassing. So what's in there?
Wouldn't you love to, like...
I just want to go in there so bad.
Yeah, like, you know, like what if, like, everybody just wasn't around for a day? Oh, don't get me started.
If everyone disappeared, like, let's freaking just explore everything.
Yes.
And then inevitably twist my toe and then, like, die or something.
But, yeah, probably.
Or get tetanus, but slip on a rest in you.
Episode of The Twilight Zone?
Never watched it.
Dude. There's this old episode of The Twilight Zone. This guy, like, he just kind of, like, wakes up in the world and no one's there. Like,
that's creepy.
Literally no one is there. And he just, like, walks around, like, town and, like, going into different houses. And I think at some point he finds somebody or thinks he finds somebody and he's, like, he, like, thinks he's going crazy. Ugh. And then you realize, like, then it, so the end.
I don't like that one.
The twist of the episode is that it's, like, he's, like, in this, he's actually... in this experiment to see how long humans can last, like, by themselves, like, for space missions. And so, like,
that's not a fair experiment
though. Yeah, like, so he's like, he is going crazy. It's all in his head.
Oh, he's like plugged into the matrix or whatever.
He's all, well, it's like he's just going crazy in a
you're seeing, he's just like him. In a pod and he's imagining, so he's walking around town. Okay. Yeah. Imagine, like, that's another thing. Like, in the mission to Mars, you have to be, like, alone in something less than this room for 6 months or whatever, and you just no way to get out. Have fun with that.
Oh my gosh. I would venture to say humans probably weren't meant for that.
Yeah. Does it ever make you a little nervous that we're, like, stuck on Earth, like, we can't go anywhere? Does that ever make you a little nervous? Like, I know it's a lot of space, but, like, we also can't leave. You know what I mean? Does that make you a little nervous?
No, I've never thought about it. But now that I am, like...
trying to think about it.
I don't know.
It doesn't make me nervous. It's just, like, something I think about sometimes. It just makes me feel uneasy.
Like, you can't get out of here?
I don't think we'll need to. I don't think God will allow any meteors to hit the Earth or whatever, because that's... little destructive, but
yeah,
should be enough space for now.
Oh my gosh,
before that's galaxy, like, colonization.
Yeah, project. I know I've talked about it before, but that makes me want to, like, buy a farm or something and just have a ton of space to myself.
I wish, if only, but also, like, I think someday that's the end game. If I could do whatever I wanted, mm-hmm. I think the end game would be I was kind of in the middle of nowhere a little bit,
just having your own, like, live a quiet life, work with your hands. That's
safe. Wouldn't that be nice, Joe? Like, just like...
And, like, evangelize to your neighbors, you know?
Just, like, rolling in your Jeep down to the local church, exactly. The grassroots church.
Exactly.
Playing your guitar, enjoying life's simple pleasures.
The bivocational pastor gets up and...
In my head, I have, like, a really nice house as well that's, like, you can shower off after all this disgusting, like, being outside stuff. Yeah. But, you know, there's something to be said. It's the American dream. Just go, like, relax. Like a little house on the prairie, like the first episodes, they built a little house on the prairie. It was meant to be a temporary house, but Paul built it, you know, for them. And then he built the real one. But yeah, it was like, they just had this ridiculously tiny house and it was just them versus nature.
Yeah.
And it's like, now we've completely conquered nature as a species and there's no nature left.
That's where humans are meant to be, in a garden, you know, in nature. That's, it's, the city is always in the Bible, at least, the city is
the
always,
city of sin or whatever.
The city is bad. Like the city,
it's like
is
you get too many
thing.
People together. It's like, yeah, they're gonna start messing stuff
exactly.
up.
Exactly. There's a whole. So. I was listening to a whole podcast series about it on the Bible Project, and they talk about like how like cities are just multipliers, and so you get a bunch of sinful, broken people in a city, and like bad things happen. Of course they do, you know. But
right,
it's also a tension because Tim Keller says like or said. Rest in peace. Tim Keller said, like, if you want to do the most gospel work, like, cities are where the highest, like, concentration of image bearers of God are, you know?
I thought that was John Mark Comer. Maybe they both said it.
Oh, maybe they both said it. Maybe one quoted the other. I don't know. But
just copying each other.
Yeah. Well, nothing new under the sun, right?
Nope, not at all.
Anyway, but, like, I don't know. Like, there is this tension because, like, I want to get out. Like, I think there's something to be said for, like, venturing into the city for a job and then like returning to
going back to the I kind of like that. That's your, a good idea. Good idea.
Like take a breath, you know, like the world exists, but you don't have to be in it all the time, you know?
Yeah. That's actually kind of genius.
You know, that's kind of my goal. That. Like, cause I don't know, like my house where I grew up is kind of in the middle and like
reasonably so.
Yes. We have neighbors, but they're not like right next to us and we have some space in the back and like we have a creek. Like it was great growing up there, you know? And it was 30 minutes away from town and, which was kind of sucky sometimes, but like, honestly, now I would appreciate that. So anyway, I don't know. That's kind of my goal eventually is like live close, but not like right in downtown, you know? I don't know.
Could be fun.
It could be fun.
I could move right in with
that. Yeah, there you go.
That would destroy the purpose. But
yeah.
Would it be fun though?
I don't know.
Cause you ride your bike sometimes or drive or whatever. It's like all these little back alley roads, like you're not that far from Kroger, but like
that's true.
No one ever goes down here and it's super relaxing.
But I just I will say like there was downsides to it. Like being 30 minutes away from stuff sucked sometimes. Yeah, like, if you forgot something, sucked.
I think your coasting won't work so well strategy with the gas isn't gonna work on that one.
Sucks.
Yeah, you're
but like again, I loved it because I had space as a kid to run around and like enjoy just being at home and I think being homeschooled too, like that was definitely a plus.
You learn to entertain yourself.
Yes, exactly. So, I don't know. That's kind of my goal, to be close enough, but not too close. It's all about that balance, really.
I quit.
Dude, it always comes back. It's a foundational principle
Sean
of
Green
the universe.
Said something about like finding that balance the other day, and I'm like, I quit
it's,
right now.
It is a foundational law.
I cannot
of the
hear it. Joe is like jinxed me because it's like,
I'm so
I cannot.
Sorry.
I cannot. I have to now be careful to not say it accidentally, and then everyone else says it. And then if I do say it, it's like a private joke, and they're like, "Why are you laughing right now?"
Yep.
I'm like, "You wouldn't understand even
you
if I
understand.
I become a teenager. You wouldn't understand even if I told you." It's like, well, that takes the fun out of it.
You just gotta find that balance, you know.